I'd like to talk to you for a minute about ownership. What difference does ownership make? And you might say, well, it depends what kind of ownership we're specifically talking about. And the kind that I have in mind here is when you own a belonging, possession of some kind, or when you own a responsibility. It's when you say, whatever this thing is, it is mine. So, for example, the state of your car, whether it's clean or whether it could use a little bit of help or a whole lot of help. If it runs like a dream or if it shudders and shakes when you're getting on the highway, on some level, if you own the car, you are responsible. Now, that responsibility could take different forms, but it may be that way because you made it that way, or because you want it that way, or at least because you allow it to be that way. You own it. You are responsible. Now, we tend to see ownership, responsibility like that. We tend to see that as a good thing when someone accepts their responsibility for something. And we tend not to approve, on the flip side, if someone says, you know, that's not my fault, that's not my problem, not my concern. Why are you looking at me? If someone seems to be dodging or ducking responsibility, we see that as a bad thing. I'd suggest to you that we need to see the importance of ownership or responsibility as well when we talk about matters of faith. So, for example, after the death and resurrection of Jesus, Thomas, the follower of Jesus, he's famous as the doubter. You know, he said, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my hand into his side, I will not believe that he's alive. And then after that dramatic statement, he has an even more dramatic response when he sees Jesus again. And John tells us the story. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And in a way, Thomas is communicating a sense of ownership. He's my Lord. He is my God. He's not just the Lord out there, the God of the universe somewhere. He's mine. He belongs to me. I belong to him. And implied in that is I am responsible for how I relate to him, for how I respond to him. And we can see plenty of other examples in the scriptures of ways that people feel that sense of ownership and responsibility in relation to God. The psalmist says, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And then it goes the other way too. The psalmist says, God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when he prayed his prayer, final prayer the night before his crucifixion that's recorded for us, he prays about his disciples. I've revealed to you, to those whom you gave me out of the world, they were yours, you gave them to me. Paul says, you are not your own, you were bought at a price. And we find more than 30 references in the New Testament to my God or my Lord. Altogether, we see that sense of ownership, relationship, responsibility in relationship with God. And so I think it's fair to say that for our faith to be a real thing, it has to be a personal thing. We have to own it. If faith is going to be real, then you and I have to own that faith. It's not enough to rely on the faith of parents or the faith of grandparents or other family members or a spouse or friends. Every one of us has to come to the place of saying, my Lord, my God. Well, this morning we celebrate people who are saying that. You've already heard we have baptism this morning. We have three folks being baptized in this morning, one in the first service, two in this one, and in this case, it's three teenagers, although baptism isn't only a teenager thing. Baptism is really for anyone who is old enough and has arrived at the spot of saying, Jesus is mine and I am his. That sense of responsibility and relationship with him. So as Jackson and Emily and Jason bow their heads and go under the water today. They are saying, Jesus died for sins, and some of those sins were mine. And in his death, those sins became his. And now his death is mine. And then as they come up out of the water, and you'll see that, as they do that, his resurrection life is mine, they are saying. And my life is now his. I love the way baptism represents that sense of belonging to God and him belonging to us. But you know, baptism doesn't only indicate belonging to Christ. See, baptism isn't just a me and God moment for each of those people in the water. Baptism is also a me and God with you moment. Part of owning our faith is also owning the family, that the spiritual family that God has placed us in to nurture that faith. Church Father Cyprian said, no one can have God as father who does not have the church as mother. And Paul kind of had his own take on that. Writing to the church in Rome, he said, in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And that makes sense when you just think about that body image. I mean, you know, these are my fingers, my elbow, this is my prominent nose here that you can see. I mean, I don't talk about those parts separate from me. They don't have a life of their own apart from me. I mean, they are part of the body. They're part of the whole. And those who are baptized into Christ Jesus also belong to the whole. And they've entered into relationship with the whole. And they are responsible to and for us as we are for them. And so baptism is symbolizing becoming part of that body. And it leads into church membership. And together, baptism and membership declare, this is my God and these are my people. Now, Christians today will often separate those two. And we'll sometimes talk about, well, you know, it's between me and God that really matters. I mean, I don't need other people to be a Christian, because it's about my relationship with God. It's my responsibility to God. But you know, Jesus didn't give us the option to split the two. I mean, he said the greatest commandment is to love God and, there's a second that's like it, love your neighbor. Ties those two together. And his disciples consistently do the same. You can't separate saying, this is my God and these are my people. They're meant to go together. And so we're going to see steps of baptism and membership today. And some of you have gone through those steps yourself, and I'd encourage you to be reminded of what those commitments mean and why they matter. And if you've never taken those steps, then I'd invite you to ask yourself, am I ready? Are you ready to make those steps yours if you haven't yet? So, as I mentioned, we have three being baptized today who are also becoming youth members. We also have eight others who were previously baptized and are choosing to identify with our church. We're going to receive the members here first, and then in the second half of the service, we will have the baptisms. And you'll also get to hear from each one of the people who is on the stage today, a video recording of a little bit of their story that brings them to where they are today. So I'm going to invite forward those who are becoming members in this service, so you can come on up right now. All of you are welcome to come up and stand here with me on the platform. There were six in the first service. There are five in this service. By the way, if you're interested in hearing the video testimonies from the other folks that were in the first service, all the videos will be available, so you'll be able to check those out later. Also, you can see in this and the other group from the first service that we value every generation from age 13 to 70-something represented, which is exciting to me. So, good-looking group here, don't you think? And I now want to share with them, and for you to hear as well, the membership covenant by which they own that sense of responsibility to God and the church. In making this covenant as a member of the Brethren in Christ Church, I accept the Bible as the Word of God, which reveals the way of salvation and guides me in what to believe and how to live. I testify that I have personally experienced God's saving grace through Jesus Christ, and that I seek to live a holy life that is fully devoted to Christ. I pledge that as a member of the Elizabethtown BIC congregation, I will be dedicated to this church family. I will be open to the teaching of the Bible, the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and the counsel of the church. I will pray for, worship with, and give financially to the church. I will use whatever gifts God has given me to participate in the ministry and the mission of the church. With God's help, I will always seek to foster a spirit of Christian fellowship and unity within the church. So that is the commitment we are inviting this group to make together. I'm not asking you to say that you promise that you will do all of those things every day, always perfectly. That's not the commitment we ask of you. But we do ask that you agree to do what you can to live into these promises with God's help. And if you are willing to do that, I would invite you to say, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
It will take you who are already members of the church to support and to encourage them, and maybe even to occasionally remind them of commitments that they have made. It is a mutual covenant, and so I would ask if you are willing to support them and to own responsibility for them, even as they have accepted responsibility to you. Would you who are members of the church please stand as we pray? Let's pray. God, what a gift it is to be part of a family, to be members of a body. Thank you for how you bring us from the places and situations of our lives, whatever our circumstances, and you draw us to you, and you draw us into your family and into your body. I'm grateful for this group of people, Lord, for each one of them individually known and loved by you, and each of them acknowledging that they belong to you. And you belong to them. And thank you for their willingness to say alongside that, that they are part of this body, this expression of your church, this community. Thank you for the blessing and gift that it is when we covenant and commit together to grow in relationship with you and with one another. And I pray that each one of them would be empowered by your Holy Spirit to be faithful in living out the commitments that they've made. I pray that we together as a body would be faithful to the call that you have given all of us together. Not only for our own sake, Lord, but for the sake of the ministry and mission that you have called us to in the world. May we be faithful to live it out. And not faithful because we're so good or we're so strong, but because we rely on your strength and we rely on your wisdom. And we find what we need in you to be faithful. So let us live it out, I pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask all these things. Jesus, the head of the church. Amen.